Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am Lewis Duncan, your host, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont from motorsport.com. And this week, the announcement has finally been made. Johann Zarco will race for Aventia Ducati in the 2020 MotoGP season. And Yuri, it was sort of an open secret since sort of Valencia, but now we've finally had the confirmation. So just first off, your thoughts on the move?
As you said, it was not a really, really good secret, considering that we got the picture of, I think it was Monday after the last race.
Yeah.
We've seen Zarco getting in the Ducati factory track, and despite he was saying that, well, he was still thinking about it, if coming back to Moto2 or joining Vintia for MotoGP, I think it was pretty much all decided. I mean, you never know with this guy what he's going to decide. But I think it was from there. It was just setting up the details for the deal.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't a straightforward process because, I mean, we spoke about this a little bit in Valencia. The rumour emerged and we asked Zarco about it and he said, look, Vinti is not a top team. I'd rather go to Moto2. So it sort of looked like things had died down there. And then this Pramac Ducati rumour came about and then it seemed that the French GP promoters were getting involved and then Ducati made another move for Zarco to tell him, look, this is, we'll give you proper support, we're signing a new deal with Aventia, you know, this will be a good place for you. So he took some convincing.
I spoke with the Ducati bosses Sunday morning, I mean the last race morning, and they told me that they for a moment when this possibility came up, Miller replacing Petrucci in the factory team and then all this movement, in the end it didn't, I mean it was not worth it to make all this stuff, and yeah, they were offering Zarco what they had available, I mean, and at that point was only, I mean, was the Aventia bike. With Zarco it always happens the same. He has a big mouth. So I think it was Saturday afternoon when we asked him about the Aventia, the possibility. And again, he said he went far, I mean, too, you know, I mean, yeah, the big mouth.
Yeah, Saturday. Too aggressive. Yeah.
So in the end, so it's not a good strategy for him to do these kind of things, because now you have to accept, you have to admit that you're gonna race there with the Aventia, and then how the Aventia guys are gonna welcome him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a good move from the strategical point of view.
You can understand Ducati's point of view, they would want Zarco because 2019 wasn't a great season for him on the KTM, but this is a good rider, double world champion in Moto2. We saw how good he was on the Yamaha. And crucially for Ducati, he comes with a lot of knowledge of a lot of different bikes. But on Aventia's point of view, of course, that the relationship's going to start quite tense, if you like it. Zarco's comments lately, he spoke to Moto Journal last week where he confirmed the move. And then again in his Instagram post confirming his signing, he was always adamant that, look, I've signed for Ducati, not Aventia. I consider myself a Ducati rider, not an Aventia rider. Doesn't really play well for Aventia just now in terms of atmosphere.
Absolutely, because there's no need to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can think about it. You can speak with Ducati privately about it. But what's the point of making it public? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the point? I think it's a huge mistake from him. Another one. So let's see how, again, let's see how the team welcome him.
Hmm. Zarco, he will be on a GP19, so a year old bike. Aventia's press release on Monday said that they will have two track engineers from Ducati and two electronic engineers from Ducati. So a decent, if small, amount of factory support. Zarco's aimed for the top 10. I can't help but feel that that's a bit of an ambitious target given the state of MotoGP right now, just how competitive it is. If you're on a year-old bike, you're going to struggle. You know, look at... Well, struggle's maybe a strong term, but you're not going to have as consistent a year as if you're on factory machinery. Look at Nakagami, for example. You know, look at the other sort of year-old Ducati riders. I think he's aiming quite high for what he's got.
To me, another mistake. From him. I mean, what's the point of, once you have signed the deal, what's the point of putting so much pressure on you? Especially because first you have to get used to this bike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he in the last, let's say, 6 months, he's been riding KTM, Honda, and then he will ride a Ducati. So it is a bit of a, you know, adaptation process he has to get through. So I would say that to me it's a mistake. I thought it was normal when he jumped into the Honda, trying to put that pressure and that expectations there, because he was pushing. I mean, he was trying to convince Honda for signing him for 2020. But at the moment, once the deal with Ducati is signed already, what's the point? I don't get it. You know, to me, it's another mistake, considering that top 10 at the moment in MotoGP is not easy at all to be there, considering the how fast the four Yamahas are. Mark, I think maybe with next Honda bike, I mean, more Honda riders will be able to finish more in front. So the four factory Ducatis, I don't think it's a good strategy from him. But again, you know, it's Johann Zarco.
Zarco goes into this as the Aventia move is sort of a last resort. I think he was expecting to have a decent shot at the factory Honda seat when Lorenzo retired. Where do you think his mindset is going into 2020, given that what he was clearly aiming for was taken right out of his hands, and now he's been put into a situation where he's very publicly said he's not happy with?
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, the things changed completely when Lorenzo decided to retire, made the announcement, and then it was clear that there was a push from Mark and from Alex and from Honda wanting Mark to renew the contract. So yeah, it was all pretty much set, I think, at that moment. So yeah, I mean, but in the end you have to face the things the way they come. So there was two options for Zarco. There were two options for Zarco at that time. Coming back to Moto2 with what this implies, or stay in MotoGP with a Binti, with, as he underlines all the time, he insists all the time, with a factory Ducati, I mean factory, with a Ducati's contract, which I think it's good, because he has the chance to show his potential and say, listen, I'm good on this bike, in a year-old bike, so I think I will have the chance and I will deserve to be in a better conditions next year, considering, especially considering that we will probably have a move inside Ducati, a huge move inside Ducati in 2021.
Going back to what Lorenzo said last year, you're only as good as your last races. And if we look at Zarco's last races, yes, he was okay on the Honda, but the results don't reflect that. Struggled on the KTM. He's not really got a very big window to show to Ducati, look, I deserve a factory seat. When you consider who they're already looking at, obviously they'll be looking at Dovizioso. Petrucci, I think, would be a stretch, but they'll be looking at Miller. They'll be looking at, they've said they'd be interested in Vinales. You have to think that Zarco's already sort of up against it in terms of trying to secure even factory machinery at Pramac, because Pramac have their own sort of riders that they'd want to keep and want for the team as well.
Yeah, but I was not talking about the factories. I mean, a full factory seat. I mean, the Philip Morris Ducati bike. I was talking more about the Pramac bike. I mean, he would have to perform, I mean, at his best to get this factory possibility, I mean, the red Ducati possibility. And it's hard to me to see him riding this red bike on 2021. But as I said, all the move involved in Ducati can bring him to the Pramac bike, because let's wait and see what happens with Pecco, because Pecco has underperformed this year clearly. So let's see what happened there. Let's see what happened with Danilo, and let's see what happened with Miller, because at the moment I think Miller is the first candidate for this factory bike. And again, let's see what happened with Dovi, because I think that his time at Ducati is coming to an end.
Miller as well, you have to think, just go and talk about Miller for a second. You have to think what happened in Austria this year with the whole Lorenzo situation. You have to think that Ducati will be pushing really, really hard to keep Miller, because they know if he gets a good offer from somewhere else, there's a good chance he might take that, given what happened. So you have to think that actually Miller's probably going to be Ducati's priority this silly season.
It is crazy because, I remember in Austria there was a chance for Miller to leave Ducati. It was a real chance. It was a real possibility. And now he has become the main priority for Ducati. I mean, one of the main priorities for Ducati, in 2021. So it's crazy how the things change in a couple of months.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this is what we were thinking about yesterday when we were writing all the Zarco stories. You know, he leaves KTM, which we never thought would happen at the start of the year, and he ends up at Honda, and he ends up at Aventia. And it's been, although there haven't been many moves, it's been one of the craziest silly seasons I think we've ever had in MotoGP.
Yeah, unexpected and interesting as well, but yeah, completely unexpected, because we all thought that last season was gonna be a quiet season, and in the end we were all smashed by the things.
I mean, and most of it as well happened across that Valencia weekend. You know, we came into, I walked into the paddock, and in 10 minutes someone said, oh, Lorenzo's gonna retire, and I thought, oh well, here we go then, and then it just, you know, a domino effect from there.
Yeah, in between Austria and Valencia, I think it were two of the main points of the season.
Of course, Zarco's move does come at the expense of another rider, and that is Karel Abraham. Karel Abraham isn't the most brilliant of MotoGP riders we've ever seen. I'm not going to sit here and try and argue that fact, but I think he's been treated very unfairly in this whole saga, because he was told he had a contract. He tested in Valencia. He was going to Jerez to test. He was fully under the illusion that he'd be there testing. And then he was apparently told that your time's up. There was no official announcement from Aventia. He announced that himself at an event in the Czech Republic. And then he said he was very angry, sad at the situation. Just give us your thoughts on Karel Abraham's dismissal, because it's been slightly sort of, amongst all of this, that's slightly been overlooked, and this rider has just been dumped fairly unceremoniously.
Yeah, I think that both parts could have been better managing that situation. But both parts, because I think if you have a good feeling with the team, you have a good relationship with the team, these things don't happen. Mm. I mean, so I would say that, yeah, for sure, Abintia, I would have done it completely different. But at the same time, I would say that it has to be because their relationship was not the perfect at that point. Mm. And yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, we know as well that Karel came with quite a lot of backing from the Czech Republic, especially Bruno. Obviously, there's a lot of doubts about the Bruno race every year, so I wonder if that had an impact on this decision, that perhaps there was money promised that wasn't coming, or I don't know. I heard a lot of things about Aventia from people in the paddock in Valencia that are quite interesting. I'm sure you've heard your own sort of interesting rumors about that team, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a money sort of issue involved there with
Yeah,
Karel.
For sure there is money involved. In the end, I think it's the relationship at that point was not at its best. So that's the saddest thing.
Zarco should be stepping onto a bike that should suit him okay, but we know how difficult the Ducati can be to adapt to. So what do you think? What do you think his chances are?
I think he will be okay. He will. The Ducati bike is much easier than the Honda, and for sure miles away from the KTM. So I think he's gonna be okay. But I mean, being okay is one thing, and being competitive enough to fight for top five, for example, is another story.
Yeah.
So not because of his adaptation to the bike, but because of the competition that we have at the moment. So I think that he's going to be okay. I think, to be honest, that is a good move from him. But let's see how he adapts to this bike. Let's see the resources that Ducati puts on his side of the garage, because I don't think it's going to be easy for him to adapt to this kind of situation.
Mm. And I suppose the other thing as well that needs to change is sort of his attitude to the whole situation. He needs to sort of accept that he is an Aventia rider and just get on with the job.
That's one of the hardest things to do for a guy like him, that is very, you know, that the
passionate
ego.
Yeah. Okay, well, on that note, I think we'll call it there. Thank you ever so much to you, the listeners, for listening to this week's Tank Slappers podcast. We will have podcasts over the winter, don't worry. We've got a special one coming up with road racing dominant star Peter Hickman. That'll be coming out at some point before the Christmas period. If you like what you heard, you can listen to our past podcasts, including another special podcast I recorded with 23-time TT winner John McGuinness last month. On iTunes, via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Just search for Tank Slappers. Of course, lots to be reading on autosportmotorsport.com. Yuri wrote a fantastic feature not that long ago about the Alex Marquez Honda moves. You should definitely go and check that out, as well as all the latest on the Zarco situation. My thanks to Yuri. I will see you again soon, and we will see the listeners again soon, but until then, it's a very warm goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.